You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, November 5th, 2013. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It's election day across the country. Mostly local elections, couple of governors, couple of interesting referendums also on the program today, and looking like it will pass in the Senate. The right wing outraged. Speaker Boehner keeping a near 30-year tradition alive will not probably schedule a vote on this. And do Americans really know what the law is regarding the ability of employers to fire people for being gay? Also on the program today, this is going to come as a huge shock to you. Insurance companies don't necessarily tell you the whole truth either when it comes to health insurance. Great story by Josh Idelson in Salon. What happens when your business tries to bring in a union, or I should say employees try and bring in a union into your business? And it's reported on WorldNet Daily that apparently some of the military want to take the president out. We will get to that as the program continues. Excuse me. It's election day, folks, and not only can you vote at your local polling place, but you can also vote online for the podcast awards. You will note that at the beginning of this program, every day, I boastfully exclaim how we are the award-winning Majority Report. We have won the Best News and Political Podcast Award for 2 years running, in 2011 and 2012. Are you going to let some right-wing site knock us off our lofty perch? No, go to podcastawards.com. Vote for us for People's Choice. And for Best News and Politics Podcast, you got to put your email in at the bottom of the page and then check your email to just verify that it's a real email address. You can vote every day. We need you to vote every day. I have been told that at least one, I don't know what it is, a Free Liberty or Liberty Radio or something like that is gunning for us, folks. Literally and figuratively, maybe. So please vote today. Not only for podcast awards, but also in your local election. We're going to go through some of the elections that votes that will perhaps have some national implications down the road. In New Jersey, Chris Christie is likely to win re-election today. I would probably put that above likely. He is running against Democrat Barbara Buono. She got virtually no national support from Democrats. Latest Quinnipiac poll has him leading by over 25%. And, you know, this is going to be what this is basically going to mark the beginning of his 2016 campaign for the presidency. And I imagine on sometime this week on Morning Joe, they're going to bring out a wreath and coronate him, had they not already. We will have more talk on specific elections as we go, but some highlights in Washington State. Initiative 522 calls for genetically modified foods to be labeled. And now we've had some talk, particularly on the better half of the program, on the virtues and vices of genetically modified foods. And just to be clear, I don't know if the science is fully conclusive, but certainly the vast majority of science at this point, and you could argue that a lot of these studies are paid by industry and whatnot, but at this point, the vast majority of science that has been produced on the health impacts of genetically modified food in terms of eating it basically point to the idea that they are safe and as safe as conventionally farmed foods. Now, with that said, I think there's a lot more ambiguity in terms of the broader environmental impact of this. The idea of super strains of weeds and insects. I also personally think that it is naive to separate the notion of genetically modified foods, at least in this country, from the domination of one corporation that controls the vast majority of genetically modified foods, particularly when we talk about corn and soy in this country. 65-83%, I think, respectively, is controlled by Monsanto. It's hard not to conflate these two issues, but they are, in some respects, distinctive issues. There is a tremendous amount of money being spent in this election in Washington, or I should say this referendum in Washington, because there's fear amongst the industry that the labeling will catch on across the country. And ostensibly, the fear is this will stigmatize genetically modified foods if they are being labeled. There is no evidence, A, that it does this. There are some who argue, and in fact, this guy Linus, who was a former activist against genetically modified food and now is a proponent of them, has recently come out for labeling because there's a feeling that the more transparency, the less that genetically modified foods will seem as something nefarious. Just to give you a sense of how much money is involved in this election, apparently on the no side, $22 million has been raised to oppose the proposal. $550, not $550,000, not $55,000, not $5,500. $550 has come from individuals and companies based in Washington, according to the public disclosures. There's been millions spent on the pro side, i.e. the labeling side as well, But it is fascinating to see how much money is being sent, spent by industry. 88% of corn and soy planted in the United States is genetically modified in some way. Like I said, the vast majority of that is from Monsanto seeds. The advancement, again, the American Association of the Advancement of Science said in 2012, the science is quite clear. Crop improvement by the modern molecular techniques of biotechnology is safe. The European Commission agreed. After sifting through 25 years of research, so did the American Medical Association. Although the AMA is backing stricter safety testing. So, you know, this is without getting into the specifics of the studies that have been done in the past. Like I say, many of them are industry sponsored. U.S. testing of genetically modified foods is still voluntary. And it some argue that it increases the use of specific pesticides like Roundup. So we don't really know. But to the preponderance of science at this point points to at least ingesting this stuff is no difference. And for years, we've been doing so. I do make a distinction between what farmers are able to do in the fields versus scientists in terms of introducing different bacterias. But again, that's the science. I'm not sure why labeling should be a problem. We do it for organic. That may or may not make a difference to people, but it's done. In New Jersey, in addition to the election of Chris Christie versus Barbara Buono, there is a ballot initiative to raise the minimum wage to $8.25 and annually increase it with inflation. There, of course, on one side is union and anti-poverty groups. On the other side, this is going to be a surprise, businesses. In Virginia, Democrat Terry McAuliffe, probably the poster boy for corporatized Democrats, is leading in polls against Republican Ken Cuccinelli, who made anti-sodomy laws one of the staples of his election. The interesting race is going to be in the Virginia Attorney General. It is very rare for Democrats to win the governorship when the president is a Democrat. I'm not exactly sure why, but it gives you a sense of where Virginia is trending. A lot of people are making an argument that this is a bit of a test case for the government shutdown. I don't know if that really holds water, but that's the way it's going to be spun. And with a lot of these off-year elections, that's what tends to be the most important factor in terms of developing a media narrative. In Colorado, which has been dealing for years with the caps on their budgets, because of anti-tax initiatives, there is an income tax referendum that would raise income taxes by $950 million to pay for more education spending and changing the state's education system. In Colorado, there's a referendum, now that you have legalized marijuana, to apply a 15% excise tax and a 10% sales tax on marijuana. I like it. And in Portland, Maine, Jimmy Reefercake, I imagine, is not listening to the program today. I imagine he's out. Hopefully, electioneering. Voters will decide on a local measure in Portland that would legalize up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana for adults 21 and over. technically speaking, marijuana would still be illegal under state law, but so you would not be free necessary to walk around with that, but it would have a pretty outsized impact. Portland is the biggest city in Maine by far. And so it may provide some political impetus, I guess, to legalize across the state. And as you know, Susan Collins is looking at a challenge in 2014 from a former ACLU lawyer. Marijuana legalization is high on her list of things that she would promote. And of course, in New York, you've got Bill de Blasio running. We've talked about the Seattle race for mayor, where you have a socialist running, where the two other candidates in the general election are adopting a lot of her platform. So we're going to see about the implications if at least in some blue state bastions, we're going to be seeing a major urban centers moving more to the left. And then, of course, we have to see how these guys govern. But the wheels of progress move very slowly, folks. And so we got to enjoy those little clicks as we can. And speaking of which, in terms of progress, the Senate has yet to vote specifically on the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, but they have taken a number of test cases that are procedural votes, I should say, that are given indication as to whether or not it's going to pass. And it looks set to pass in the Senate. What the Employee Non-Discrimination Act does is it bans discrimination in the workplace for companies with 15 or more employees, I should say, based on sexual orientation or gender identity. In other words, you can't be fired if you're gay. You can't be fired if you're transgender. The fascinating thing, there's been polling. Now, I think in about 21 states across the country, this is already the law of the land. We're looking for a federal ban on this type of discrimination. Fascinating polling on this. 50% of Americans favor a law banning workplace discrimination against gays and lesbians, while 42% oppose, according to a HuffPost YouGovernment poll. Democrats, as you would imagine, are more likely to support this provision than Republicans. But what's genuinely interesting about this is that only 13% believe that such discrimination is legal now. In other words, 69% of Americans, and some don't know, think that it's already illegal to fire someone simply because they're gay. So the law here is well behind what public opinion thinks it should be and thinks it is. It's fascinating. We have several exemptions in this law, some of which I guess are okay. Others, some of which I think are legally more founded. I find them morally repugnant, frankly, but, and some of which I think go too far. 22 states, like I said, have their own statutes that prohibit discrimination in hiring based on sexual orientation. 18 of those include sexual identity. As you know, Title VII of the of the Civil Rights Act already prohibits employment discrimination on the basis of your race, your religion, your gender, your national origin, age, and disability. There's been attempts to pass this bill since 1974. This includes exemptions for churches and religious institutions, which I think, you know, you get into some legal issues in terms of the Constitution on, I guess, if there's a religion that says gays are bad, you're imposing someone else's religious beliefs on them. But for places like hospitals that are not religious institutions, that are simply owned by religions, it seems to me that if you want to operate in Caesar's world and operate businesses that are not about your church or your, I guess, your synagogue or your mosque, if you deign to operate businesses in Caesar's province, then Caesar's law must prevail.
So you admit that Obama's government is that of Caesar.
Right, of course.
Ah, the truth emerges.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not the only one. In a moment, I'll play you some sound, which I think proves it. But John Boehner is unlikely to bring this up in the House. He says that ENDA's aims are already accomplished by current law, but of course he won't say what that law is. He worries that including sexual orientation and gender identity as a protected class would lead to more frivolous litigation and lost jobs. Of course, we're seeing zero evidence of that in the 22 states that already have those provisions. 97% of companies on the Fortune 500 also have policies saying that we won't discriminate against people for being gay. I mean, this is the 21st century. It really is stunning. But this, of course, won't pass. And let me read you, just to give you a sense of how the right wing is agitating against ENDA, a bill that would make it illegal to discriminate and fire somebody because they're gay. Here's from Eric Erickson's Red State, of how the Republicans in the Senate have sold out to this family-crushing special status for gay people not to be fired simply because they're gay. Republicans have sent the message to Democrats loud and clear. There is no floor to the degree of government-sponsored social engineering they may pursue. Either way, Republicans will be too scared to even speak out against socially decadent legislation. How decadent it is that we can't fire somebody for being gay. The transgendered agenda is in full swing, ladies and gentlemen, he writes. Cross-dressers are openly being compared to African Americans to justify this bill.
Who is he speaking out against there?
Against
you know, with Eric Erickson, I really can never tell.
Right. Right. I would bet everything I own that were Eric Erickson old enough to put a couple of sentences together when the when Title VII was passed, that he would be like, this social engineering. We can't fire somebody in our own business for being black. What's next? Can't fire someone for being gay? Legislating immorality is now in vogue. Democrats will win their cultural war without firing a shot. Like I've said before, you will be made to care. This has nothing to do with religion. When you use the boot of government to literally erase any demarcation between the two genders, you will suffer under tyranny and chaos or face endless lawsuits. There you go.
How he did bring it back down to reality a little bit.
It could be tyranny under that boot. It could be chaos, cats and dogs working at your office, raining from the sky, or it could be lawsuits for firing somebody because they're gay. These guys. Meanwhile, I got on the Red State train today, and I couldn't get off. I've been socially engineered by my email. I saw this piece on Red State: Obamacare destroying lives, killing businesses. Last week, we asked for your personal Obamacare horror stories. More and more middle-class families are forced to surrender their dignity and grovel before the government for their health insurance. Please, may I have a government-created website so that I could buy personal insurance, sir, please? Here's the latest from Charles in Alabama. Well, I'm a 53-year-old self-employed real estate agent. I don't know if that's the way that Charles talks, but
after placing his fiddle down,
he goes on to talk about how he pays for his real estate business with his wife. We have two sons who are approaching college age and both plan to attend the state public universities. Hey, what? I want the government to get their boot off of my neck. Financing state public university. Oh, no, he doesn't write that. He says where the average four-year cost has been estimated at over $100,000. That's an expensive public university. I definitely, if this letter is about we need to fund our public universities in the way that we used to, I'm all for it, but that he doesn't say. I work 7 days a week. Apparently, he works during the Sabbath. Or Shabbat, I want to be fair. I only attempt to take a day off. I work at least 10 hours a day, but it's not unusual for me to work. Okay, I've been blessed with great health, as been my wife and our two boys. He doesn't mention how his two young boys, who are now college age, can continue on his family's plan in a way they couldn't have a couple of years ago until age 26. Maybe he's not aware of that. I have struggled to pay $735 a month to Blue Cross Blue Shield for health care insurance for my family. But I'm a believer that it's important to guard against catastrophe. And I've paid that large amount completely out of pocket ever since going into business for myself. That means I write a personal check for the entire amount every month. We received our Affordable Care Act letter from Blue Cross Blue Shield this week. Well, that's a lie, number one. No, it's just a letter from Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's not actually an Affordable Care letter. We were informed that our new monthly premium starting January 1 for the much reduced benefits will rise from $735 to $1,114 with our yearly deductible tripling. This monthly premium is more than my house payment. Upon further investigation, we have found that for our benefits to stay the same as they are today, our premium would be about $1,600 a month. The cheapest alternative for us in an ACA-compliant policy is $870 a month, with a yearly deductible of $12,700. Now, Here I'm going to stop for a moment and say we don't know what this guy's income is. Without knowing this, it's very hard to really determine what he's talking about. But there's a story in Talking Points memo starting to look into these letters from insurance companies. Now, this guy is 53 years old. In Talking Points memo, and I'll get back to Dan from Alabama, or Charles from Alabama, in a moment. Donna received a letter canceling her insurance plan on September 16th. Her insurance company, LifeWise of Washington, which is a Blue Cross Blue Shield subsidiary, had told her they'd identified a new plan for her. If she did nothing, she'd be covered. She's 56 years old with a 57-year-old husband and a 15-year-old daughter. She'd be paying an additional $300 a month for coverage. The letter made no mention of the health insurance marketplace that would soon open in Washington, where she could shop for competitive plans. It just said, if you do nothing, we'll roll you into this new plan. If she had done nothing, she'd end up spending about $1,000 more a month for insurance. Donna, after finally going on to the exchange, said the info we were sent by LifeWise was totally bogus. Why did they try to screw us? People who are afraid of the Affordable Care Act should be much more afraid of the insurance companies who exploit their fear and overcharge them. Well, surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
That this is their business model, and it's always been their business model. Turns out that Donna could go on the exchange, and instead of paying her $724 monthly premium for a $10,000 deductible, she could go on to find another LifeWise plan on the exchange with the same deductible they offered her outside the exchange was cheaper. Plans with a lower deductible had the same or lower premiums than the LifeWise plan. So there were other companies doing a better job. She ended up getting a Community Health Plan of Washington with a $250 deductible. And on top of that, she qualifies for a federal tax subsidy that would knock her her monthly premium to $80. Her daughter could enroll in Medicaid at no cost to the family. Now, this is just an anecdote. They found other instances in this piece about insurance companies upselling. But getting back to Charles in Alabama, he's talking about a $400 increase a month with his yearly deductible tripling. Now, I went on the Kaiser Foundation subsidy calculator. We don't know how much Charles makes, but I put in a family of four making $75,000 a year in Alabama. And I think you're doing pretty good in Alabama at $75,000. You're not doing great. And if you got two kids going to college, you're certainly struggling, without a doubt. But according to this, a silver plan would be $8,000 a year. You would receive almost another $800 in subsidies. So you're paying $7,125 a year for a silver plan, which caps your out-of-pocket costs at $12,000. Now, I don't know what his yearly deductible was. He doesn't actually get into the specifics here. But I tend to think that something's amiss in Alabama. Unless this guy is making a lot more cash. And something's going on in the exchanges that I don't understand. Because you can still go in and you can still get that silver plan for less, for $50 more a month than he was paying. And I imagine the deductible is lower, but it's hard to know without the thing. But this is going on across the country. A bunch of anecdotes which seem to have no relationship to the truth. Now, we expect this out of Red State. And don't expect Red State to actually dig into this. But it seems to me that if you are CNN, or you are USA Today, or you are NBC, that you should be doing just a little bit more reporting before you just tell these stories. There's no doubt that about 5% of the population who are enrolled in private health insurance are going to end up paying more now. But presuming these people are going to age, they're going to end up paying less than they would have otherwise. That's simply the nature of insurance, of risk pools. That's just the way it works. So when Obama said every single person can stay in their plan without a problem, he was, one, not telling the full truth, lying. Two, underestimating how bad the insurance companies were, or in terms of their practicing capitalism, I guess. And three, telling the truth to 95% of the people who are buying individual insurance. So, I don't know. I still think that we could have... We would have had probably a lot more crowing, but a lot more happy people if we had just gone to single payer. And hopefully that's where we get. But this is what happens when you use the market to prop up an industry which has made their money on lying to consumers, on selling them shoddy products, and just simply betting. I mean, that's what the insurance model is. We're going to sell all the people a crappy product. And because of the nature of who gets sick and how many people get sick, most people won't really realize it. But when they do, they're thoroughly screwed. That was the insurance model for a long time. Now it's just basically getting subsidies from the government. And that's the way they're going to do their business. Now, we were talking about ENDA and what it is, just the idea of it, the boot of government, socially engineering things. It's not just Red State saying this. It's also Ted Cruz's dad. What's his name, Rafael? Rafael Cruz. Last week we brought you his plea that President Obama be sent back to Kenya, said in perfect English with a slight Spanish accent on behalf of his Canadian-born son, Ted Cruz. And today we bring you the real agenda behind what they're doing. It's not the homosexuals.
It's my favorite sound ever.
Okay, let's hear this.
When you hear all these things about homosexual marriage, this has nothing to do with homosexual rights. Did you know that? The whole objective is the destruction of the traditional family.
Pause it. You see, the homosexual, they don't want rights. They don't care about getting married. No, they've just been signed up to destroy the family.
Has nothing to do with homosexuals. They could care less about homosexuals. They want to destroy the family. You need to understand, it's just like evolution.
Pause it. It doesn't really explain quite yet, but he's getting there. Why do we want to destroy the family? Now, of course, you picky people will tell me, how are you destroying the family by allowing people to create families? That is for my second speech that will happen tomorrow.
You know, most Americans have their head in the sand about evolution. I've met so many Christians that tell me, well, evolution is a scientific fact. Baloney! I am a scientist. There's nothing scientific about evolution.
Pause it. You see, baloney is the answer. I have done millions of tests in my laboratory with the baloney. And I rub the baloney on the evolution and nothing changes. It doesn't turn blue.
But you know something? Karl Marx said it. I can use the teachings of Darwin to promote communism. Why? Because communism, or call it socialism if you think communism is too hard a word.
Pause it. This is fascinating here. Like, you don't want to malign Marx too much by saying he was in favor of communism. It's too hard. I don't want to offend Marx. Well, who is he talking to? It's too hard of a word. Yeah, socialism, communism, it's the same thing. They end with an imism.
Necessitate for government to be your God. And for government to be your God, they need to destroy the concept of God. That's why communism and evolution go hand in hand. Evolution is one of the strongest tools of Marxism. Because if they can convince you that you came from a monkey, it's much easier to convince you that God does not exist.
That is because, I will tell you why, Lucy. Because, Lucy, God did not create the monkeys. The monkeys are created by the devil. Because, how do you know this? Because the monkeys have a hand just like their feet. And then what the communist Marxists do is they tell you you can walk on your hands. Now, why did they tell you to do this? Because when you walk on your hands, which way do your eyes look? Backwards. You cannot walk on your hands and look forward. And when you're not looking forward, you bump into things and you bump your head. You get knocked unconscious, and that is when they bring the communism in. So everybody walk on their hands, and they say, what happened? When Obama says he's going forward, he's a Marxist, because he wants you to go forward walking on your hands, so you bump into the coffee table. Then you are unconscious, and when you wake up, hey, why is this boot on my thing, and now the gays are getting married? That is the truth. There you go.
I love Ted Cruz's father. That guy is amazing. He's a production assistant for every single progressive media outlet in the country.
I know. Is there a Rafael Cruz newsletter I can get on? Unbelievable. And what's amazing is they're just letting this guy, you know, this guy's just out there. I mean,
Ted Cruz is proud of his dad.
This was This was just a couple of months ago at the Dean Bible Ministries.
Although he doesn't look like the type of guy, frankly, that you could sit down and say, you know, Mr. Cruz, we might want to tone down. That doesn't seem like...
That? Can I ask, well, I guess Ted Cruz doesn't have an accent. He is more of like a Canadian accent.
Yeah. Hey, Dad. Hey. All Dad, the crazy talk.
Is there any chance that you could maybe not talk so much about the evolution?
I think you know and I know that the gays, in conjunction with the evolutionists, are planting the fossil evidence for Satan.
Can't we?
That's common sense. But some people don't want to hear it up front.
Agenda 21. Unbelievable. All right, folks. Don't forget to vote. Podcastawards.com. People's Choice. Best news in politics. Go there. You can vote every day. Make sure you check your email to verify the vote. Little bit of a hill to climb on that. You got to check it. But that's what's going to weed out all those other shows. You can also support this program by becoming a member today at majority.fm. If you buy your crap from Amazon, if you're doing, you're buying Hanukkah gifts or Christmas gifts or Kwanzaa or Enda gifts, or you're trying to buy evolutionary things, you're buying through Amazon, go to majority.fm, click on our link, bookmark it, buy your crap through there. We get a kickback. JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Give us a review on iTunes. We haven't had a review on iTunes, I think, in months. Come on, folks. If you like the show, let's see a review. You can check out our app at majorityapp.com. It's a great way to turn other people onto the show. How do I listen to that show? It's weird. Just you get the app. It's good for Android. It's good for iOS, even iOS 7. I think I'm the only person who won't download iOS 7. All right, folks, 646-257-3920 is the number, 646-257-3920. If you have guest suggestions, somebody emailed me, said we suggest guests, of course, at majorityreporters@gmail.com. If you know of any good books or films out there, you think we should talk to the director, the author, email us at majorityreporters@gmail.com, put guest in the subject line. We're always a week or so behind on our emails, so... feel free to email us. You can IM at Majority FM. All right, we're going to head into the better half of the program today. Great story by Josh Idelson on how employers intimidate people who are setting up unions. This happens everywhere. It happens on a daily basis. And I'm convinced it got a little worse after the First Circuit Court defanged the NLRB for a while because it said its recess appointments were not legitimate, made it harder for the National Labor Relations Board to deal with employers who are intimidating employees who want to set up a union. That's going to change as of last week. Hopefully, now that we've got a former labor lawyer on there, you're going to see more aggressiveness by the National Labor Relations Board. Card check. We still need it. You got a problem with that? Call me at 646-257-3920. You want to explain to me about how the homosexuals getting married? It's destroying your marriage? Please. Please tell me. How the Marxists... You know, most of, I think, Rafael Cruz's research seems to come from Ann Coulter, as far as I can tell. He's not in on the joke, no. All right, folks, see you in the better half.